This is the extended podcast of new classical tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Amacher. Just ahead, you'll hear from Sir Antonio Pappano what it was like, kind of terrifying, to play a duet with Marta Argerich on his new recording, Carnival of the Animals, and also how some of the orchestra members like to get into character when they play this piece. Enjoy. You collaborated with Marta Argerich many times over the years, right?
I was the music director of the Théâtre de la Monnaie in Brussels. It's the opera house there. And Marta had a place there. And she came to play with me quite often with the orchestra of the opera house. And we did Prokofiev, and we did Liszt, and we did Schumann. But I was also involved in a project that she does every year in Beppu, in Japan. It's on the South Island, a little town, a spa town, where she has her own little festival. And I went there for 3 years in the 90s, and I did Tchaikovsky there. You know, when you accompany these concertos with Marta Argerich playing, it's quite difficult to perform them with anybody else. So the relationship is quite strong. I mean no disrespect to any of the other pianists I work with today, but she's somehow on a plane that's all its own. She belongs to a bygone era, and yet she's incredibly modern because she's a risk-taking, daring performer. She is lyrical, and yet she's theatrical and passionate. She can be very, very steely, and yet she can be gossamer and caressing. And all of this somehow unpredictable. She dares you to follow her and dares you to follow her journey and in making music. And in that way, it's extremely joyful. And it's a hell of a ride, let me tell you.
Well, and that's your role with her as a conductor. What's it like to sit next to her playing piano on Carnival of the Animals?
Well, I'm a decent pianist, but I'm no Artur Rubinstein, that's for sure. And I'm a conductor nowadays, and it was pretty scary, and I was sweating bullets, let me tell you, before the first rehearsal. But you know, flying about the piano, she made me feel like I could go faster and faster and play softer and softer and create more and more excitement. She just made me better than I actually am. And isn't that a fantastic quality to have in a musician if you're doing chamber music? I mean, that quality emanated from her through the whole experience, and of course onto my musicians who play along with us there.
Which are soloists from the orchestra that you lead, the St. Cecilia Orchestra. Tell me a little bit about your work with that ensemble and how these soloists were selected to take part. Are they the principal players?
The players that are playing on this album are some of the principal players. Usually you have two in each section, but they just happened to be chosen for this project, and they had worked with Marta Argerich on many occasions because she would come to the orchestra quite often. And it was a very, very natural process. Sure, they've played the piece before, but I was playing it for the first time. And so they sort of brought me along. I ended up conducting and playing and doing all that. But I got a spirit of come on, let's have fun doing this. We have an opportunity to record this piece with Marta Argerich. How lucky are we? We were in the studio, but we also recorded live. We did a concert So there's that spirit which imbues the whole thing, this live electricity and frisson. And that is certainly the case in the symphony, the organ symphony, which is the pairing on this record, which was taken from live performances in Rome, which gives you an idea of what concerts can be like in Rome and what the hall is like and what the orchestra is like live.
Now, let's talk about why you paired these two together. They were composed in the same year. Is that one of the reasons?
Certainly. We were looking for a special pairing for the symphony. We started out with the symphony. The fact that he interrupted work on the symphony to write the Carnival of the Animals, I think, is significant.
I wanted to ask you, now I know the composer wrote Carnival of the Animals for a chamber orchestra, but it seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like often it's heard more with a fuller orchestra, is that right?
Well, it's an opportunity for the orchestra to program something that is fun and for the family, and so orchestras take it over. But it's in its original form, there is something essential about it. I don't know, it's something like you're in a toy store. It feels like the instruments feel like toys, as do the pianos, you know. And so I much prefer it. But there's nothing wrong in doing it with the orchestra and, you know, getting families in and children involved in listening to this wonderful music, which, when music for children is really music written by a genius, it appeals to the child in all of us, in us adults too. And I think that's the secret of these pieces.
Well, and of course, the composer himself was very protective of this piece because he was afraid that people would see it as frivolous, and he was making fun of some of his colleagues, right?
Well, of course. I mean, there are there are musical jokes all over the piece. There's the tortoise is a slow version of the can-can. I mean, really slow motion in our recording. I mean, it's daringly slow, but fantastically evocative. And then you have the not-so-wonderful pianists trying to play scales together and not succeeding very well.
Well, I think it's actually pretty hilarious hearing you and Marta Argerich trying to play scales badly. Is that a challenge for you?
Well, we came up with several solutions for that number. And I think the one we chose for the recording is very funny because somehow between the hesitations and the almost making it to the top of the scale is not very convincing at all. And so therefore it's very funny and very natural somehow, stupid and silly, but somehow hilarious.
I have to ask you about one of the photos that's inside the CD jacket of one of the performers with a scuba mask on his face.
Well, the aquarium. And, yeah, he pulled that stunt in the live concert that we did. And why not? He plays the beautiful glissando on the glockenspiel so beautifully. But with the scuba mask on him. Somehow brings it to a whole new level.
And I was thinking that how interesting now that we equate the organ symphony with a movie about a pig, and then
I love that movie.
Isn't that great? And then you pair it with Carnival of the Animals. It just seems so serendipitous that the composer had written these in the same year, and now they're all associated with animals in some way.
Do you know, before I saw the movie, I'd never conducted the piece before. And of course, I knew it was the Saint-Saëns organ symphony, but that tune is just very, very special. And seeing that film, I programmed it immediately in Rome. And it has become a very, very important piece in our repertoire. We tour it all the time. I think it's a very important piece. And Saint-Saëns was a child prodigy, and there's something of the child in him always. There's a particular spark and joy and genuineness about his music making. It's also very much related to the past, in, you know, the organ, its relationship to the music of Bach, to the past, to the study of keyboard music, to, I believe, his great interest in old music. If you listen to even his second piano concerto, it starts very, very much as if it were a Bach, a chaconne, a toccata, or something like this. And I think Saint-Saëns never got away from that, and that's why I really love his music. There's a connection to his past. And there's an uninhibited feeling about this music. I think with any French music, you have to have certainly a sensitivity to color and to classical proportions. But we mustn't forget that French music also invented grand opéra and impressive edifices of sound. French music is not all about delicate little water lily pastel paintings. It's so much more than that. And the grandeur of the work has to be respected. So you're dealing with extremes often, and I think if you're sensitive to color and to creating a canvas, then you'll get somewhere with French music. And I think because I spent a lot of my time in the pit, and still do, in opera houses, and it's very, very much a part of who I am, but when you're conducting symphonic music and you're with no visuals, just you, the musicians, and the public, you're looking in the mirror somehow. You're asked questions that you aren't asked when you're conducting an opera, or in opera, the questions are answered because of the text, because of the visual situations, because of the drama. But I think you have to make up your stories in the symphonic repertoire, and you have to dig deeper to be able to understand, be sensitive to what the composers were really trying to say, because they're trying to say something. Even abstract music is trying to say something specific. We may not know what it is exactly, but I think we have to create an image for ourselves. And I think that that's helped me enormously to be away from opera and to dig deeper.
That's New Classical Tracks from American Public Media, with special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode. I'm Julie Amacher.